Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 4, Chapter 33. Whosoever confesses that one God is the author of both Testaments, and diligently reads the Scriptures in company with the presbyters of the Church, is a true spiritual disciple, and he will rightly understand and interpret all that the prophets have declared respecting Christ and the liberty of the New Testament. A spiritual disciple of this sort, truly receiving the Spirit of God, who was from the beginning, in all the dispensations of God, present with mankind, and announced things future, revealed things present, and narrated things past, such a man does indeed judge all men, but is in himself judged by no man. A man who has the mind of God's Spirit is the only judge of spiritual things. Worldly men are incompetent critics of Scripture and of Christian exposition. For he judges the Gentiles, who serve the creature more than the Creator, and with a reprobate mind spend all their labor on vanity. And he also judges the Jews, who do not accept of the word of liberty, nor are willing to go forth free, although they have a deliverer present, but they pretend, at a time unsuitable, to serve beyond the advent of Christ, which he accomplished for the salvation of men, nor are willing to understand that all the prophets announced his two comings, the one, indeed, in which he became a man subject to stripes, and knowing what it is to bear infirmity, and sat upon the foal of an ass, and was a stone rejected by the builders, and was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and by the stretching forth of his hands destroyed Amalek, while he gathered from the ends of the earth into his father's fold the children who were scattered abroad, and remembered his own dead ones who had formerly fallen asleep, and came down to them that he might deliver them. But the second advent, in which he will come on the clouds, bringing on the day which burns like a furnace, and smiting the earth with the word of his mouth, and slaying the impious with the breath of his lips, and having a fan in his hands, and cleansing his floor, and gathering the wheat indeed into his barn, but burning the chaff with unquenchable fire. Moreover, he shall also examine the doctrine of Marcion, inquiring how he holds that there are two gods, separated from each other by an infinite distance. Or how can he be good who draws away men that do not belong to him from him who made them, and calls them into his own kingdom? And why is his goodness, which does not save all, defective? Also, why does he indeed seem to be good as respects men, but most unjust with regard to him who made men, inasmuch as Marcion deprives him of his possessions? Moreover, how could the Lord, with any justice, if he belonged to another father, have acknowledged the bread to be his body, while he took it from that creation to which we belong, and affirmed the mixed cup to be his blood? And why did he acknowledge himself to be the Son of Man, if he had not gone through that birth which belongs to a human being? How, too, could he forgive us those sins for which we are answerable to our Maker and God? And how, again, supposing he was not flesh, but was a man merely in appearance, could he have been crucified? And how could blood and water have issued from his pierced side? What body, moreover, was it that those who buried him consigned to the tomb? And what was it that rose again from the dead? This spiritual man shall also judge all the followers of Valentinus, because they do indeed confess with the tongue one God, the Father, and that all things derive their existence from him, But at the same time, they maintain that he who formed all things is the fruit of an apostasy, or defect. They do in like manner confess with their tongue one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, but a sign in their doctrine, a production of his own to the only begotten, one of his own also to the Word, another to Christ, and another to the Savior, so that, according to them, all these beings are indeed said, as it were, to be one, notwithstanding that each one of them should be understood by them to exist separately from the rest, and to have had his own special origin according to his own peculiar conjunction, so that their tongues alone, forsooth, have conceded the unity of God, while their real opinion and their understanding, by their habit of investigating profundities, have fallen away from unity, and taken up the notion of manifold deities. When they shall be examined by Christ as to the points which they have invented, him too they affirm to have been born at a later period than the Pleroma of the eons, and that his production took place after a degeneracy or apostasy. And they maintain that on account of a passion which was experienced by Sophia, they themselves were brought to the birth. But their own special prophet, Homer, listening to whom they have invented such doctrines, shall himself reprove them when he expresses himself as follows: "Hateful to me that man as Hades gates, who one thing thinks while he another states." This spiritual man shall also judge the vain speeches of the perverse Gnostics, by showing that they are the disciples of Simon Magus. He will judge also the Ebionites. For how can they be saved unless it was God who wrought out their salvation upon earth? Or how shall man pass into God, unless God has first passed into man? And how shall man escape from the generation subject to death, if not by means of a new generation, given in a wonderful and unexpected manner, but as a sign of salvation, by God? I mean, that regeneration which flows from the Virgin through faith. Or how shall they receive adoption from God, if they remain in this kind of generation, which is naturally possessed by man in this world? And how could Christ have been greater than Solomon, or greater than Jonah, or have been the Lord of David, who was of the same substance as they were? How, too, could he have subdued him who was stronger than men, who had not only overcome man, but also retained him under his power, and conquered him who had been conquered, while he set free man who had thus been vanquished? But who else is superior to, and more eminent than, that man who was formed after the likeness of God, except the Son of God, after whose image man was created? And for this reason, he did, in these last days, exhibit the similitude. For the Son of God was made man, assuming the ancient production of his own hands into his own nature, as I have shown in the immediately preceding book. He shall also judge those who describe Christ only in opinion. For how can they imagine that they do themselves carry on a real discussion, when their master was a mere imaginary being? Or how can they receive anything steadfast from him, if he was merely an imagined being, and not a verity? And how can these men really have partaken of salvation, if he in whom they profess to believe manifested himself as a merely imaginary being? Everything, therefore, connected with these men is unreal, and nothing truth. And in these circumstances it may be made a question whether, since, perchance, they themselves in like manner are not men, but mere dumb animals, they do not present, in most cases, merely a shadow of humanity. The spiritual man shall also judge false prophets, who, without having received by the gift of prophecy from God, and not being possessed of the fear of God, but either for the sake of vainglory, or with a view to some personal advantage, or acting in some other way under the influence of a wicked spirit, pretend to utter prophecies, while all the time they lie against God. He shall also judge those who give rise to schisms, who are destitute of the love of God, and who look to their own special advantage, rather than to the unity of the church, and who, for trifling reasons, or any kind of reason which occurs to them, cut in pieces and divide the great and glorious body of Christ, and so far as in them lies, positively destroy it. Men who prate of peace while they give rise to war, and do in truth strain out a gnat but swallow a camel, for no reformation of so great importance can be effected by them as will compensate for the mischief arising from their schism. The spiritual man shall also judge all those who are beyond the pale of the truth, that is, outside the church. But he himself shall be judged by no one, for to him all things are consistent. He has a full faith in one God Almighty, of whom are all things, and faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom are all things, and a full faith in the dispensations connected with him, by means of which the Son of God became man, and a firm belief in the Spirit of God, who furnishes us with a knowledge of the truth, and has set forth the dispensations of the Father and the Son, in virtue of which he dwells with every generation of men, according to the will of the Father. True knowledge is the doctrine of the apostles, and the ancient constitution of the church throughout all the world, and the distinctive manifestation of the body of Christ according to the successions of the bishops, by which they have handed down that church which exists in every place, and has come even unto us, being guarded and preserved without any forging of scriptures, by a very complete system of doctrine, neither receiving addition nor curtailment, and by reading without falsification, and by a lawful and diligent exposition in harmony with the Scriptures, both without danger and without blasphemy, and the preeminent gift of love, which is more precious than knowledge, more glorious than prophecy, and which excels all the other gifts. Wherefore the Church does in every place, because of that love which she cherishes toward God, send forward throughout all time a multitude of martyrs to the Father, while all others not only have nothing of this kind to point to among themselves, but even maintain that such witness-bearing is not at all necessary, for that their system of doctrines is the true witness, with the exception, perhaps, that one or two among them, during the whole time which has elapsed since the Lord appeared on earth, have occasionally, along with our martyrs, borne the reproach of the name, as if the heretic, too, had obtained mercy, and have been led forth with the martyrs, being, as it were, a sort of retinue granted to them. For the Church alone sustains with purity the reproach of those who suffer persecution for righteousness' sake, and endure all sorts of punishments, and are put to death because of the love which they bear to God, and their confession of His Son. Often weakened, indeed, yet immediately increasing her members, and becoming whole again, after the same manner as her type, Lot's wife, who became a pillar of salt. Thus, too, the Church's treatment is similar to that of the ancient prophets, as the Lord declares, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Inasmuch as she does indeed, in a new fashion, suffer persecution from those who do not receive the word of God, while the selfsame Spirit rests upon her. And indeed, the prophets, along with other things which they predicted, also foretold this, that all those on whom the Spirit of God should rest, and who would obey the word of the Father, and serve him according to their ability, should suffer persecution, and be stoned and slain. For the prophets prefigured in themselves all these things, because of their love for God, and on account of his word. For since they themselves were members of Christ, each one of them in his place, as a member, did, in accordance with this, set forth the prophecy. All of them, although many, prefiguring only one, and proclaiming the things which pertain to one. For just as the working of the whole body is exhibited through means of our members, while the figure of a complete man is not displayed by one member, but through means of all taken together, so also did the prophets prefigure the one, while every one of them, in his special place as a member, did in accordance with this, fill up the dispensation, and shadowed forth beforehand that particular working of Christ which was connected with that member. For some of them, beholding him in glory, saw his glorious life at the Father's right hand. Others beheld him coming on the clouds as the Son of Man. And those who declared regarding him, "They shall look on him whom they have pierced," indicated his second coming, concerning which he himself says, "Do you think that when the Son of Man comes, he shall find faith on the earth?" Paul also refers to this event when he says, "If, however, it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you that are troubled, rest with us, at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with his mighty angels, and in a flame of fire." Others again, speaking of him as a judge, and on the day of the Lord as if it were a burning furnace, "It is the Lord who gathers the wheat into his barn, but will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So they were accustomed to threaten those who were unbelieving, concerning those also of whom the Lord himself declares, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, which my Father has prepared for the devil and his angels." And the apostle, in like manner, says, "Who shall be punished with everlasting death from the face of the Lord, and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in those who believe in him." There are also some of the prophets who declare, "You are fairer than the children of men," and, "God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows," and, "Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy beauty and thy fairness, and go forward and proceed prosperously, and rule thou because of truth and meekness and righteousness." And whatever other things of a like nature are spoken regarding him, these indicated that beauty and splendor which exist in his kingdom, along with the transcendent and preeminent exaltation to all who are under his sway, that those who hear might desire to be found there, doing such things as are pleasing to God. Again, there are those prophets who say, "He is a man, and who shall know him?" And, "I came unto the prophetess, and she bore a son, and his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God." And there are those who proclaimed him as Emmanuel, born of the Virgin, declaring that the Word should become flesh, and the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Pure One, opening purely that pure womb which regenerates men unto God, and which he himself made pure. and exhibited the union of the Word of God with his own workmanship. And having become this, which we also are, he is the mighty God, nevertheless, and possesses a generation which cannot be declared. And there are also some of the prophets who say, The Lord has spoken in Zion, and uttered his voice from Jerusalem, and in Judah God is known. These indicated his advent, which took place in Judea. Those again who declare that God comes from the south, and from a mountain thick with foliage, announced his advent at Bethlehem, as I have pointed out in the preceding book. From that place also, he who rules and who feeds the people of his father has come. Those again who declare that at his coming, the lame man shall leap like a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall speak plainly, and the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall hear, and that the hands which hang down and the feeble knees shall be strengthened, and that the dead which are in the grave shall arise, and that he himself shall take our weaknesses and bear our sorrows. All these proclaimed those works of healing which were accomplished by him. Some of the prophets, moreover, when they predicted him as a weak and inglorious man, and as one who knew what it was to bear infirmity, and sitting upon the foal of an ass, he should come to Jerusalem, and that he should give his back to stripes and his cheek to palms, and that he should be led as a sheep to slaughter, and that he should have vinegar and gall given him to drink, and that he should be forsaken by his friends and those nearest to him, and that he should stretch forth his hands the whole day long, and that he should be mocked and maligned by those who looked upon him, and that his garments should be parted and lots cast upon his raiment, and that he should be brought down to the dust of death with all things of a like nature. The prophets prophesied his coming in the character of a man as he entered Jerusalem, in which, by his passion and crucifixion, he endured all the things which have been mentioned. Others again, when they said, The Holy Lord remembered his own dead ones who slept in the dust, and came down to them to raise them up, that he might save them. They furnished us with the reason on account of which he suffered all these things. Those prophets, moreover, who said, In that day, says the Lord, the sun shall go down at noon, and there shall be darkness over the earth in the clear day. And I will turn your feast days into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. They plainly announced that obscuration of the sun, which at the time of his crucifixion took place from the sixth hour onwards, and that after this event, those days which were their festivals according to the law, and their songs, should be changed into grief and lamentation when they were handed over to the Gentiles. Jeremiah, too, makes this point still clearer when he speaks concerning Jerusalem. She that has borne seven languishes. Her soul has become weary. Her sun has gone down while it was yet noon. She has been confounded and suffered reproach. The remainder of them I will give to the sword in the sight of their enemies. Those of them again who spoke of his having slumbered and taken sleep, and of his having risen again because the Lord sustained him, and who enjoined the principalities of heaven to set open the everlasting doors that the King of Glory might go in, proclaimed beforehand his resurrection from the dead through his Father's power, and his reception into heaven. And when they expressed themselves thus, His going forth is from the height of heaven, and his returning even to the highest heaven, and there is no one who can hide himself from his heat. They announce that very truth of his being taken up again to the place from which he came down, and that there is no one who can escape his righteous judgment. And those who said, "The Lord has reigned, let the people be enraged. He who sits upon the cherubim, let the earth be moved." We're thus predicting partly that wrath from all nations, which after his ascension came upon those who believed in him, with the movement of the whole earth against the church, and partly the fact that when he comes from heaven with his mighty angels, the whole earth shall be shaken. As he himself declares, there shall be a great earthquake, such as has not been from the beginning. And again, when one says, "Whosoever is judged, let him stand opposite, and whoever is justified, let him draw near to the servant, or son, of God." And, "Woe unto you, for you shall wax old as does a garment, and the moth shall eat you up." And, "All flesh shall be humbled, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in the highest." It is thus indicated that, after his passion and ascension, God shall cast down under his feet all who were opposed to him, and he shall be exalted above all, and there shall be no one who can be justified or compared to him. And those are the prophets who declare that God would make a new covenant with men, not such as that which he made with the fathers at Mount Horeb, and would give to men a new heart and a new spirit. And again, "Do not remember the things of old. Behold, I make new things which shall now arise, and you shall know it. And I will make a way in the desert, and rivers in the dry land, to give drink to my chosen people, my people whom I have acquired, that they may show forth my praise." Plainly they announce that liberty which distinguishes the new covenant, and the new wine which is put into new bottles, that is, the faith which is in Christ, by which he has proclaimed the way of righteousness sprung up in the desert, and the streams of the Holy Spirit in a dry land, to give water to the elect people of God, whom he has acquired, that they may show forth his praise, but not that they might blaspheme him who made these things, that is, God. And all those other points, which I have shown the prophets to have uttered by means of so long a series of scriptures, he who is truly spiritual will interpret by pointing out in regard to every one of the things that has been spoken to what special point in the dispensation of the Lord is referred, and the entire system of the work of the Son of God, knowing always the same God, and always acknowledging the same Word of God, although he has now been manifested to us. Acknowledging also at all times the same Spirit of God, although he has been poured out upon us after a new fashion in these last times, even from the creation of the world to its end upon the human race, simply as such, from whom those who believe God and follow his word receive that salvation which flows from him. Those, on the other hand, who depart from him and despise his precepts, and by their deeds bring dishonor on him who made them, and by their opinions blaspheme him who nourishes them, heap up against themselves most righteous judgment. The spiritual man, therefore, sifts and tries them all, but he himself is tried by no man. He neither blasphemes his Father, nor sets aside his dispensations, nor inveighs against the fathers of old, nor dishonors the prophets, by maintaining that they were sent from another God, or, again, that their prophecies were derived from different sources. End of chapter 33.